Well, the bill really makes some minor changes to the Federal Acquisition Institute, but they're very important changes. The provisions reaffirm the role of FAI as the lead activity for civilian agencies around, you know, the oversight and training of the acquisition workforce, and it actually also reaffirms the role of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy as the key, really, federal policy guidance provider, overseer around such areas as training and standards for acquisition workers. You think, okay, well, what's the big deal here? This is what they do. But I think that there's been some change that's happened over the years, and I think there's some recognition by Congress that the FAI needs a little more to it. Now, it also requires OFPP to set the budget for FAI and almost put a line item in the request through GSA, the General Services Administration, for that budget, for the training budget. Now, GSA runs the Federal Acquisition Institute. The bill also brings some formality to the Federal Acquisition Internship Program. Congressman Jerry Connolly is a Democrat from Virginia. He was the major sponsor of this bill in the House. He says the bill brings the civilian acquisition workforce some much-needed help.
The civilian workforce, non-DOD civilian workforce, is in sore need of more training available to them, setting some uniform standards of when you begin as a program officer, contract officer, acquisition personnel. There's a certain minimum set of standards that everybody has and that we build on. And we are not at that point in the federal government, and that concerns me. If we are concerned about saving taxpayer money, looking for efficiencies, avoiding waste and fraud and abuse, it starts with professional training.
Now, Senator Susan Collins is the main sponsor in her body, the Senate. She says in an emailed statement the FAI Improvement Act is a good first step to address agency procurement challenges. She says raising the profile of and enabling FAI to achieve the promises failed to achieve Citizens inception in 1976 would help produce a better trained civilian acquisition workforce. Collins goes on to say the bill would help FAI reach its full potential as the premier civilian acquisition training center, which would, you know, ensure there's consistent standards across the government and across the civilian acquisition workforce. Now, what's interesting is the DOD already has these standards, if you will. DOD already has the Defense Acquisition University. And I think that's what the hope always was for FAI, would become that the civilian version. But the problem is money and people.
Okay, Jason, a couple of questions. First of all, this would cover acquisition workers who work for DOD who are civilians, or just acquisition workers 1102 in the civilian agencies?
So this would just cover civilian agency acquisition workforce. So DOD, you know, has their own at DAU.
So why was it in the defense authorization bill and not in some bill, say, authorizing GSA?
Well, as you and I have watched over the years, Tom, the defense authorization bill is a usual place where they can get things passed. So they have a government-wide provision section, and they slip stuff in there. I mean, if you remember, for instance, the E-Government Act, that was a part of the defense authorization bill. If you remember a lot of the FASA and FARA bills, those parts of those potentially were part of the acquisition bill. So, I mean, it's just a typical thing that the authorization bill gets kind of loaded up.
It's sort of like a big magnet and everything else is a little iron shaving that's going
exactly
through there.
And that, because they know it will pass.
Sure. Now, how will this bill change the way the FAI operates?
Well, as we talked about a little bit, the changes are fairly minor in nature, but much needed. Alan Shavakian is the senior vice president and counsel for the Professional Services Council. The industry organization was a big supporter of the bill. He says FAI has lost some of its luster over the last few years.
There has been some doubt, and over time there has obviously been a misallocation of resources. FAI always had the smallest amount of money of all of the training activities, even compared to some of the others like the VA Training Academy or the VA University, or certainly everybody by comparison to the Defense Acquisition University. To make sure that there is no ambiguity about the central role that FAI plays under the direction and control of the Office of Management Budget and the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, I think this provision just elevates that by putting into statute some very clear roles and responsibilities.
Now, Shavakin says the bill also gives the FAI some more clout as it actually moves away from working so closely with the Defense Acquisition University. He says over the last few months there's been sort of a divestiture between the two organizations. Now, former OFPP administrators, former administrations have tried to bring them closer together, but basically what they found is that, yes, Defense does a great job in training their acquisition workers, but that training does not necessarily always translate to the civilian world. Because let's be honest, how many agencies beyond DOD buy airplanes or ships or missiles or UAVs? Stan Livingstone is an acquisition practice manager at ASI Government. He says the bill gives FAI the tools needed to improve training and oversight of the acquisition workforce.
They right now don't have the capability, the horsepower to actually start their own initiatives and follow through and deliver on them. And I think what this new law will do is give them the strength to do that. It'll give them the capability to take a look overall at the workforce, define deficiencies, define areas that need improve, and then develop the training for that. It's also going to lay out a roadmap for the individual employees so they can see what grade level and where they're at right now, what training they're going to get that year and next year, and allows people to sort of like plan their own career development.
Now, he adds the bill also will make a big difference in the funding for FAI. Livingston said over the past decade, the funding stream has been a shot in the dark. Few initiatives have been available to increase the training fund, really have come through. The Obama administration asked for more than $100 million twice for FAI and Congress has not come through with the money. The Bush administration supported an initiative to give FAI more funding from the so-called profit. Now, it's a dirty word in government, but the extra money that GSA gets from their schedules program, and that didn't get through. Now, currently, FAI is funded by a percentage of what they call the industrial funding fee. That's the fee agencies pay to use the GSA schedules. But that ends up only being about $5 or $7 million a year. By comparison, DAU receives a line item of more than $100 million a year for acquisition training.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. So it sounds a little bit like the GSA should have been doing more to support FAI all these years, or is that not really what people are implying?
I don't think that's what people are implying. I think GSA has done a fairly good job of supporting it. I mean, they've reached out to DAU. They've tried to borrow classes, borrow online training. They've tried to create other relationships. But what I think is happening is a lack of funding, a lack of focus from a government-wide over, you know, from a top-down focus, meaning OFPP, has given FAI, they haven't gotten the if you will, do you stand with Stan Livingston said, the horsepower needed to really be that central focus of training across the government.
Okay, let's get down to some of the brass tacks here now. Congress passed that defense authorization bill last week. Why has that not been signed by the president yet?
And that's a big question, and there's, I think, some growing concern why the president hasn't signed it. Now, if the House does recess, and what I've been told is that they're not going to recess for political reasons, specifically they don't want the president to be able to do any recess appointments, then if he doesn't sign the bill by the time the House would recess, it would be considered a pocket veto. Again, the chances of the House recessing is not very good right now from what I'm being told. Now, I've asked the White House for comment on the possibility of a pocket veto, but they didn't respond. I did hear back from both the Senate and House Armed Services Committee spokesmen, both Democrats and Republicans, and they all say we're not concerned about a possible pocket veto. There's been no indication the president will not sign the bill. Now, the administration does support the defense authorization bill, but also, more specifically, does very much support the Federal Acquisition Institute Improvement Act. Dan Gordon is the outgoing OFPP administrator. He testified in November before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee about the FAI Improvement Act, and he called it a breath of fresh air.
There are provisions in the bill that are clearly helpful. There's been some nervousness, frankly, on the part of people in my office that the bill's language would appear to make it look like the Office of Federal Procurement Policy would actually be running FAI. I don't think that was the intent, and we need to be sure if the bill is enacted, we need to be sure that we're able to keep having GSA and the important role that it's shown. But with that caveat, I do think that the bill sends a very strong signal of improving and strengthening the Federal Acquisition Institute.
Now, obviously, Gordon says GSA must continue to run FAI with OFPP's oversight, and the bill also calls for a new board of directors. There is a current board of directors, but it wants to reinvigorate this board of directors. Now, real quick, a lot of what the bill calls for in the FAI Act is already being implemented. I heard from a government source who follows this issue closely, and they tell me that, for instance, there's new leadership at GSA and OFPP, a new associate administrator at OFPP for workforce issues, a new associate administrator at GSA, a new director of FAI, and eventually Dan Gordon's leaving in about a week and a day, and there'll be a new OFPP administrator. And the goal here, and the person tells me, all of this will help focus all of these changes.